Hello, everybody. This is Todd Wilson, of course, with the Lane 8 BMX podcast. And I have someone, you know what? I just got a glimpse of him racing and I was like, who is this dude from the GB Olympic program? And I was like,
yeah,
who is this dude? And he's built like a Mack truck, and it happened to be Eddie Moore. And I started tracking him and I wanted to see how he was doing. And I finally got up the courage to ask him if he'd come on the podcast and we just have a chat. So everybody, I want you to meet Eddie Moore. He's on the Olympic program. I'm talking about right there with, what'd you say, Kai White, Ross Cullen, Patty Chirac?
Yeah, they're the boys. And Quillen.
Quillen.
Gilston and Kyle Russell.
Yeah.
That's the squad.
Not bad. Eddie, thank you so much for giving me some time. I really appreciate this, man.
Yeah, that's okay. I appreciate it myself. It's good to come on and talk. I enjoy talking. So yeah, it'd be good fun.
Okay, I love it. Okay. Usually I start at the beginning of someone's career, but I want to start talking about right now because the beginning of your season, you've had a pretty darn good season. Your national series, I think the first round, you got second to Matthew Gilston, and then Mark Fletcher was third. And then the very next day, you put it together and you won the second round of the national series, beating Fletcher and Harry Tanner. So take me through your first round.
Okay.
How was that for you?
It was different. Normally at those sort of nationals, we're racing, you know, obviously all the boys are there. So obviously, you know, Quillen, Ross, Paddy, Kai, they're all normally there. So there's normally a bit more battling up front going on. Me and Matt didn't race until the finals, so no discredit to anyone else that was racing, but obviously I'm elite and I was racing a lot of younger lads. So for me, it was more about getting out there and trying to put smooth laps together. And to be fair, the only lap I didn't put together that was any good was the final. But other than that, it was just nice to get out and race again because that was my first race for about 9 months. It was just good to get out there again and get some laps under my belt.
Okay, tell me this. You just mentioned it, so I'm going to ask it. Your first race in 9 months, were you injured?
Yeah. So 2023, I did all the nationals. I couldn't really get funding to go to a lot of races. So I went to the Euros and crashed out, which was a shame. And then I got qualified for the World Championships and I crashed on the Monday, the week of the race, and I broke my hand, my thumb. Did like a fracture across here, and that basically put me out for a long while. I hadn't been on the bike till then, almost November. I started to get back on the bike, and then, just slowly got back into the level I was at and pushing for more. And then got the first race done at Manchester, which was, I hadn't raced since European Champs last year.
Yeah, not bad. No. You did well. How was that feeling? I'm curious, not racing that long, were you nervous?
There was definitely a lot of nerves, which was funny because normally there's more competition at that race. And I quite like the feeling of being an underdog and like battling with the other lads. Whereas obviously being one of the faster guys there and living in Manchester now, I felt like I had a bit of a expectation upon me and I had to, everyone's going to be expecting, Eddie's going fast because he lives in Manchester now. He's a full-time athlete where, the story is, I've come back from an injury and this is my first race in ages. So.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Okay. So the very next day you really did put it together. You got first in round two. Take me through your final. What were you thinking? Because we were talking earlier that you had made a couple of mistakes in the first round, and then the next day you just really put it together. What did you do different?
So my goal was to basically iron out the mistakes, which were on day one, all my starts were really quick. I got personal best starts and I was flying. And the start I did in the final was you know, not as quick as something I'd do on a regular training day. So day two, I just wanted to do a start, which was good enough to win. I didn't want to go out there and try too hard. I wanted to go out there and basically put something together which was consistent and repeatable and not put too much pressure on myself. And I really struggled with the first jump at Manchester. So my goal was just to make sure I get through the first jump smooth, and then the rest is quite plain sailing. It's quite a technical first jump that I struggle with. So yeah, it was just for me to execute a nice smooth start and get through the first jump nice and smooth.
Not bad. Like,
and repeat that.
Not bad. Are you, I'm curious to ask you this. Are you the type of rider where you like to get a very good start and then lead from there to try to hold off folks? Or are you the type of rider where even if you don't get a good start, you're a good pack rider to get through the pack?
Okay. I'd say growing up, I was never a front runner. I'd never be like, being a smaller kid, I never, you know, had good race craft in the corners and was a very aggressive rider, you know, always making moves and battling, catching up. So I've definitely always got that side of it in me. Good race craft. Whereas like at a national level now in elite men, then yeah, I'm normally a front runner. I've won the series twice now and I've won a lot of rounds in elite men. So for me in the UK, then yeah, I expect to be a front runner. But when it goes to Europe, obviously that's a different story. Like it'd be nice to be at the front more often than not. But you can't always guarantee it. So I wouldn't say I'm either, to be honest.
Not bad. Not bad.
You know, there's a good mix.
Not bad. Well, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's definitely nationals recently. It's definitely taught me more about leading laps, as it's something I didn't really do as a kid. Anytime I won a race, it's because I made a move on someone, you know, I come underneath them. Whereas now, like, you know, the experience of winning laps, I think it's really important because I didn't really get too much of that as a kid.
Not bad. Okay. You're fully funded this year, correct?
Yeah.
How did that come about? I'm curious. Was it because of 2023? You had a really good year. And then 2022, you had a pretty good year.
I'd say it's more down to 2022. That year I performed quite well. I hit the targets at World Cups, which were funded off my own back. I went with my dad to Glasgow. I raced the European Championships where I got a bronze medal. That was like the main one for me. That was like super, super good. And then the World Championships was going really well as well. I made it onto the quarterfinals, but was battling for fourth in there, and I lost it in the last turn. But yeah, all in all, that year was just a big breakthrough, getting a bronze medal, securing the national title for the first time. So yeah, that was the year. I didn't really get to do much racing in 23 because, well, I couldn't afford to go to the bigger races. And then when I did get the opportunity, I obviously crashed. So it was more off the basis of what I performed in 22.
Not bad. Who had that conversation with you, if you don't mind me asking, that told you were funded?
So you do an online application every year. So you have to apply and put in all your race results and, you know, what you performed and what you're capable of. And then it goes to a meeting board and then they basically decide whether you're, you know, going to be a part of the squad or not. So I think in hindsight, it probably should have happened after 22. I'm not sure what was going on, but I think the problems British Cycling may have had then have been rectified. And because of that, then three of us boys got moved up to Manchester at the end of 23.
Not bad.
So, which was great.
Yes, it is. I'm curious, is that, Eddie, is that a big relief off your back to be fully funded where you can just specifically focus on racing a bicycle?
It's difficult. I don't think I'd be racing now if I wasn't funded anymore. Because if I can get the funding, then it's almost like every year you're doing a sport where you're not really getting much back. After what I had achieved, you know, getting a bronze medal at the European Championships and doing what I could off my own back, I didn't feel like there was much more I could do. So if I didn't get this opportunity, then it's almost like, well, you know, there's nothing more I can do. So yeah, getting this opportunity is obviously really important. So I was never going to turn it down.
Not bad. Now you're on the team with, wow, I would say some heavy hitters around the world. I mean, wow. I'm curious because it always seems whenever I've interviewed several people with the team, Quillen, Kyle, you know, and it's you guys seem like you have a great relationship with each other, but there has to be a touch of competition, obviously.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always used to get, you know, quite excited to race the lads when I had a national and they would come and race the national. For me, that was my chance to go and obviously be the underdog and do what I can. But obviously now it's a bit different because I've trained with them every day. Yeah, there's always that little bit of competition between everyone. But yeah, It's not too bad. We're all quite supportive of each other, I'd say.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I love watching but we you guys.
If one of us doesn't do well, it's always nice to see the other person, you know, succeed. Like, you know, it's a win for the group, I guess.
Are you busy? Are your days really tied up in gym, track? What's a day for anymore?
They can be. Other days, you know, we could be doing absolutely nothing. I've been quite busy the last couple of weeks because I travel to and from Devon, which is 4 hours away, where my family lives. So I do live in Manchester, but sometimes I go home when I have a bit of respite. So that's why I struggle with time a little bit. But it can be a busy day. Obviously, when you're getting in massage and physio and doing work on your bike, or if there's a meeting, then yeah, it can fill up your day more than you think.
Yeah,
there's definitely not. Now I'm here, I realize that you cannot be a full-time athlete and be like a normal human being at the same time. It's just like there is more that goes into it. Like I used to do a pretty good job, I thought, of like, you know, working full-time and managing to race at a high level. You know, I managed to achieve like really big things doing that. But like now I'm like, bloody hell, I can't go 2 weeks without any treatment. Like my body starts aching. Wow. So it's different in that sense.
Wow, that's really cool. Tell me this, the type of rider you are. Are you, I hate to say this because it's going to sound really stupid, but are you a power guy? Are you a skill guy? Or are you a mix of both? Because if anybody doesn't know anything about you, this man is built like a truck. So, you know, I'm curious.
it's a bit of a weird one, to be fair, because I have my sketchy moments quite a bit these days. But growing up, I was always a skill rider. I was never leave the track without doing a stupid line, like really good at my jump to manuals. Like I could do anything on the bike. Whereas now, you know, the coach Kyle asked me to do something. I'm like, I want to stay in one piece. I don't want to do that. So I think you just grow out of it sometimes. So I've got the skill there. Like I can do stuff, but I've definitely, my goal was always to become a powerful rider. I think I put so much energy into doing that one thing because I never had it, that some aspects probably have been left behind a little bit. for sure. So yeah, I think it's probably switched to where, you know, I'm probably one of the more powerful guys on the circuit now.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree on that one. I'm curious, when you are racing, this is something I'm real curious about. Do you break up your races into segments in the sense that, okay, first, let me get a good gate. Then let me figure out how I'm going to hit the first straight. And the second, do you think while you're racing?
I mean, from the start, I'm just thinking, get a good start. And then the rest of it, you know, it's just reactions, isn't it? Like everything's a millisecond reaction. You do think, you know, should I come over on this person or should I not? It happens so quickly. You don't really think about it until you've finished the lap. And I think it's funny that with this sport, because sometimes you're really hard on yourself for making a decision, but you probably would have done the same thing because most of it's instinct, I think. Yeah. Depends on your natural instincts, I think, a lot of the time. That happens so fast.
It's not bad.
So, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's not a sport. You can't be so relaxed where you, like, come out of court and you're like, right, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I think you just get on and do it, I think. You just do whatever you feel like.
Not bad. Not
bad. In that moment, yeah.
What do you prefer? The Euros, National Series, World Cups?
I do like a European Cup. I don't know why. If we got all the boys racing a national at like an outdoor UK track off a 5 meter, I'd absolutely love that. That'd be my bread and butter. I just really enjoy a 5 meter hill race. And yeah, I think that's because what I grew up doing. Like, I just obviously always love that. The sense of achievement's obviously going to be better if you win a World Cup or a European, right? Obviously. But I think on a just general day, yeah, I just think that's, yeah, I love that.
Not bad, not bad. Do you prefer 5 over an 8?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think I'm pretty damn fast off a 5 meter hill.
That's a great explanation.
Compared to an 8 meter. I think there's a lot of skill in the 8 meter, which is what I missed out on before. You know, there's guys that aren't that strong and they can fly down an 8 meter hill. But like on the 5 meter, I feel like you can't hide that. Like, you know, it's just get out and go fast gate, go on the red light and just rip into it. That's more of the sort of rider I am. Whereas, you know, the 8 meter, you've got the crest, you've got the timing, you've got the body weight, how many pedals are you, do you start right, jump left? Like, there's so much more to it. And it's definitely more of a skill, I think, being good on the 8 meter.
Not bad. Are you the type of racer that likes to race a lot? Or do you prefer the typical style that's now where it seems like the elites don't race that often? What would you prefer and why?
I think I'd probably prefer racing more often. More because it keeps you hungry. And you always come away from a race thinking about what you want to do at the next one. Like, oh, I can do that better. And if you've got 6 weeks until the next one, it's like that thought almost dwindles away and you just rock up to another race again. Which is why, you know, we finished the European round the other day and I was like, oh, I just want to go again. Like, I was so ready to go again and try and do better. So yeah, I think more race.
Man, what European round was that?
Zolder.
Oh, how'd you do?
So day one, I was third in my quarterfinal. And going down the third straight, completely fine. And hit a takeoff and just shot off to the side. Went back to fifth. So that was super frustrating. So that was, you know, a mistake of my own. It's, you know, I could have rolled around the rest of the lap through to the semis. And then, funnily enough, similar thing on day two, same race. I was in fourth place qualifying through, come out the last corner, and I hit a bobble on the track. Back end's come up, and I've done almost a half rotation, and I've pedaled up the takeoff of the first jump on the last straight. and just took off it, like, and then again, yeah, out again. So that's why I was, like I said, I really wanted to go again because I was performing really well. And then basically two stupid mistakes, one of them not necessarily my own fault, but it cost me going, like, rolling through a qualifying round. So performance-wise, I think I did okay, but results-wise, not so good.
Bad. How do you, I'm curious of this because you guys have a lot of pressure on you to perform, so, you know, hitting the marks. How do you handle that pressure?
I can't say I've had that much experience with that because I've not been on the program very long, but I guess in the past, I had a lot of pressure over the years trying to get the results I needed to be to get onto the program, which is always really difficult. And I didn't feel like I had many opportunities to do that. So that was always quite frustrating. It definitely, I wouldn't say I dealt with it amazingly, but I think once you get that big result or you get that one breakthrough, then the pressure just vanishes.
Yeah.
And you turn into a completely different rider. You're just way more relaxed and confident. So I think you just got to keep chipping away until you get that breakthrough ride, and then it's plain sailing.
Not bad. Was there a sense of relief getting on the program?
Yeah. I guess a little bit. Yeah, because it meant I didn't have to pay to go to races. Yeah. So yeah, and obviously yeah. Having a coach and. That was mad. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Because it meant that job's been done. But now, obviously, it doesn't mean, you know, everything's fine now. I've got to now go and get the results to stay on the program and get to where I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your biggest goal that you're trying to accomplish this year? Is it
this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
To make another European final would be nice, and obviously to get on the podium again would be great. Basically get to a really high standard of riding so that I can go into the next year fighting for, like, World Cup finals.
It's not bad. Not bad. I want to
I think it's a big building year.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, more of a building block.
Are you in the running for making the Olympic team?
Not this year, no.
So you're looking more towards, let's say, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Let's go back some because I want to know your backstory. How did you get into BMX?
So when I was about 3, my mum wanted me to do something less dangerous than motocross because my dad did motocross. So she took us down to the local track in Exeter. And yeah, I did my first race when I think I was 4. Went to the Worlds in Valkenswaard in 2004. And then 2005, we went to Paris-Bercy Worlds where I got world number 6 when I was 5 or 6. And then, yeah, like since then, never really stopped until lockdown. Wow. Till 2021.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I'm an OG.
Okay. Did you get good fast or did it take a lot of work? Did you have the natural talent to get good fast or did it take you a while?
I think I was a pretty good rider from a young age. So bad. Yeah, like always very good on my bike and skillful. Yeah.
Was mom and dad taking you all around everywhere to race?
Yeah, we always did. We've done the nationals every year. But obviously when there was world championships in stuff like China, we couldn't make that. So we did as much as we could, you know, as much as we could afford over the years, but it was enough. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. I'm curious with all of that racing, were you noticed by the national team at a young age?
Yeah. I was, when I first applied, I was 12, going on 13, and I got accepted that year. And the coach that time was Jeremy Hayes. You know, we did all the training camps and stuff. Then moved on with Mark Seaman and then Marcus Bloomfield. And then I got removed from the program. And then from about 16, because of my size, I think, and performance, yeah. Wasn't really performing at a European level at that age.
Wow. So how, at what age were you when you were removed?
15 or 16? Yeah, 15 to 16.
Okay.
I think.
The reason I ask you that question is this. For most 15, 16-year-olds, they would probably take that as a blow and may quit. But you didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what was it that kept you focused on your goal? That is amazing to me because most people take that as a punch in the gut.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, it was quite hard. Purely because I believed that wasn't fair. Like, I knew I hadn't had my time yet. Like, because of my size, I wasn't allowed to do any strength and conditioning in the gym. I wasn't allowed to do any weights or anything like that. So the first thing I did was get a gym program off a rider I looked up to at the time, Curtis Manhattan. I got a gym program off him, hit the gym, and then, yeah, just like, that was it. I wanted to build a big first straight. That's what I wanted. So I just did that over the, like, the next 4 years.
Wow. So when did they come back to you?
I'd say 2022, because that's the year, like, I was allowed to race the World Championships. They took me to the Worlds. And then over the last year, I had discussions with my coach, now Kyle, about obviously the potential of moving on to the program. So, yeah, so sort of the end of last year.
Were you surprised that they came back to you? Because I'm thinking at 15, 16, they kicked you off and then they come back to you. Man, that's got to be a good one. That means you did the work to get there.
Yeah, definitely did the work. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see what we can do with the team now. Be interesting. Because, obviously I achieved more than what I could have ever wanted without them. So it'd be amazing if I can do even more with them.
That is a great way to put it. I like that. I like that. Because, man, if you did what you did without the program, just imagine what you'll have with the program.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Like, I never won a national series my whole amateur career, being younger, you know, like 15, 16 boys, any of those ages. I never won national title. Junior men, I never won a national title. So my first national title was an elite man. So it took a lot of patience to get there.
I've never got
a podium at a European Championships, and I hadn't made a World Championships final since I was 6. And then again, in elite men, when I was 22, I managed to get a bronze medal. So again, that was like a lot of patience. I find a lot of the riders that are top elite these days, they were always world finalists as kids and medalists and this, that, and the other, but I was never like that growing up. So yeah, definitely one of a very few people that's managed to do that, I think.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself a late bloomer?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is one question I gotta raise, because I watched some of your videos, man. Holy cow. How much can you squat?
That's a good question, to be fair. I don't know at the moment. Depends. It depends on the day. My best ever squat is 242 kilos.
That's kilos. I'm going
to There was a time where I think that could have been 250 plus. Like, because obviously you go through your periods of peaking. And then this winter, I hit a 230 kilo squat. which was quite easy. And one of the coaches thinks I could have done a 250 if I programmed for it. So.
Okay. How long did it take you to even get to that damn point of doing 230 to 250? Did it take you a long time?
Yeah. I mean, I've, like you say, since the age of 15, 16, I was probably more obsessed with gym than I was BMX. So, because that felt like, you know I could ride a bike, and that I felt like that was the thing that was missing so much. Yeah, was obsessed with it. Like, used like from the age of like 15, 16 to like before I got the program, I'd be in the gym five times a week, every week, no breaks. Like, I like loved it. Like, that was super important to me.
You don't feel like you overtrained?
Nah, obviously I programmed myself, like, because I did a sports science qualification and I was a personal trainer. So I understood, like, I learned over the years how to program for myself, what worked well for me. So, but yeah, I've always just been so obsessed with getting my squat bigger.
Would you say that's probably the most important, I would say, lift if you're going to be in BMX?
Not necessarily. I think it's more dependent on the person and what it does for your mind. Like, for me, if I know I'm going well in the gym and I'm squatting heavy and I'm in a good shape, then I go to the race feeling pretty confident because I know I'm there in like tip-top condition. You know, if I go to a race and I'm not feeling strong and I'm only squatting 200 kilos, not very well, I might go to that race thinking, I'm not in good shape here, but if someone to my right might only squat 180 and they'd probably beat me. You know, it's not the be all and end all, but like, it's definitely important.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. But like, a lot of people do power cleans and stuff like that and trap bar deadlifts, but I just love a good squat.
I like that. I'm curious to find out with you, do you consider BMX to be more mental or physical or a mixture of both?
A mixture of both.
Why?
I feel like once you maximize your physical, it becomes like a mental game completely. But obviously it depends on the person. I think for me right now, my physical is pretty up there. So yeah, my mental's got to be pretty important. So yeah, I'd definitely say for me right now, it's a 90% mental and 10% physical, but for other riders, it may vary, I think. Yeah, there's riders out there that, you know, aren't built at all, but they're so mentally switched on and incredible. So,
You know what? I've never been an elite BMX racer, but my thought would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you don't mind, I'm thinking all of you guys, you get up on that gate physically, you're all amazing. It's the mental, to me, I think, is probably more than the physical nowadays for you guys, because it's the stress of everything, like, you know, the training, having to deal with the competition, having to deal with meeting the marks. And I would think having to deal with all that stress, it's more mental than it is physical.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I think if you're up there and you're ready for that race, you've done everything you can to prepare for it, then yeah, it comes down to the mental for sure. Like, can you stay calm? Can you keep composed? You know, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. Is there anyone on the, let's say, the elite circuit now that you admire and why?
I think obviously I've been quite impressed with Kai recently. You know, didn't start off his year very well, but even when we're in Belgium, he didn't seem to worry at all about any qualifying race. Like, he was very chilled, didn't care that he came fourth or he had an LCQ. But then when he turned up for the final, it was like, you know, flipped a switch and he won both days. And, you know, if you've, he wouldn't mind me saying this, if you watched him in the motos, you wouldn't think, oh, Kai's going to breeze today. But in his head, he probably had already won the final. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, he's got a lot of confidence right now, which obviously he might not have had at the start of the year, but he's got it back. And, you know, you can admire the confidence because it goes a mile once you've got it. Like I said, Kai had that breakthrough ride where he won that World Cup. And since then, his confidence has been sky high, and it's so important, I think.
It's just crazy, dude. That man, I'm fascinated by him because he seems, he's one person I would say that it appears that he handles the pressure really well. It doesn't appear that anything really bothers him. And he just goes out and he just does it. And it's just, it's fascinating to watch him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, he handles the pressure really well. And I think me and Kai grew up racing together.
And
he's always, you know, won a lot of British Championship finals. And there were times where I thought, you know, oh, I've got Kai today. But yeah, he managed to switch it on. Find that extra gear. It was always the final where he performed. And I think he's always had that. So quite impressive.
Is there anything that you can take from all the, because you're racing some of the best riders in the world. You're training with them every day. Is there something that you can take a little bit from each one of them to use for you to be able to even get better?
Yeah, I think we all do that from each other, to be honest. Like, you can always take something from everyone. You know, because everyone's been on their own journeys as well. Like, everyone's evolving, like, all the time. Yeah, there's something from everyone I think I could take.
Not bad. How does your family feel about what you're doing? I'm curious.
Oh, they love it. They think it's brilliant. Like, that, they think, like, this is, like, you know, I understand as well. Like, they've invested in me since I was three. So for me to finally be here, it's like, job done for them, you know. But yeah. I, you know, for me, like, that's mainly what keeps me going as well. I would like to see, you know, their reaction again if I managed to do well. So,
yeah,
because that was the best thing. For them than myself.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. What's your favorite place that you've raced so far and why? Because, I mean, you guys get to travel all over the place.
I do like racing Zolder. I think the atmosphere is great. But I'd say the best race I love, and it's actually just been cancelled, is Saint-Étienne in France, the indoor every year.
Yeah.
In December. It's just like the coolest thing. But they've just said that it's not going to run anymore because I think it's like £40,000 to run the event or something stupid, and they can't afford it. But yeah, gutted, absolutely gutted. But yeah, that was my favorite. The atmosphere was great. Like, the whole event, just being there, like in a small little stadium, obviously, like, it's just such a cool atmosphere. And there was always like a good turnout of amazing riders as well.
Yeah. Do you like racing the smaller venues with a tighter track, or do you prefer that open wide track?
Yeah, probably a tighter track. I don't know. That's what I've grown up with. Like, I've never had that much exposure to the 8 meter hill as much as other people, I guess. And like, I don't know. I just like a bend sink gate and a 5 meter hill.
Man, you just told me something I didn't know. Etienne is canceled.
Yeah, it's crap. I mean, if we can get a GoFundMe page going for them, that'd be great.
Wow. How many times have you raced that race?
Over the last few years, quite a lot. I think in the last, like, since the last 4 years it's been on, I've only missed 1 year. So I missed last year because I was injured, but I would have been there. But yeah, I love it.
Not bad. Have you raced in the United States at all?
Yeah, I did the Grands 1 year in 2018 or 19 when I was junior men. So I raced double A pro. and I crashed in my semi, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Okay. What do you think? Okay. What do you think of American racing?
Not as good as Europe.
Why?
I hear this all the time. I listen to Coffee Chatter when I drive home, and they always talk about USA BMX. I don't know. It's just like, personally, I think the depth of field is better in Europe. I think you get the top riders in the USA, but the depth of field is a lot better in Europe. So although you might have eight real fast guys in America, like if you're at a European Cup, you know, I think there's at least 30 guys which are like capable of being in that final. So, and I think the tracks are probably better in Europe. I don't really like the look of the American tracks. They look quite flat and mellow. Whereas Europe, obviously, you've always got different lines. You know, you just got to look at the French riders and how they are on their bikes. I think it says it all. Yeah, I think the overall atmosphere, like, yeah. I don't know. I think Nantes World Championships was just, yeah, that says it all.
Not bad.
That was great.
I'm always fascinated by the French riders because there's just so many of them that are so damn good. And yeah. I'm thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, because you race against them. I'm thinking if they wanted to, they could probably come out with four full, maybe five full Olympic teams to participate in the Olympics because they're so deep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even, yeah, I mean, I guess they're different, aren't they? The tracks are a lot better. I think their clubs get heavily involved with the riders a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I know the clubs fund the riders over there as well. So, you know, I think their funding's quite good over there. Like, you know, you see riders which aren't even on the French squad and they're going to bloody all the races in the world, aren't they? But I have spoken to a couple of people and they said that their local club pays them a salary, which is something that just does not happen in the UK.
Really?
Which is mental. Yeah, I can't imagine getting 10 grand a year from a UK club, like just a club, which is just insane. So you wonder how the clubs generate so much money over there.
Who's tougher? I'm curious of this. These three to race: French, Dutch, or Colombians?
Probably Colombians.
Why?
Because once you get in front of them, the game's not over, is it?
I like that. Damn.
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone would say that. You don't want a Colombian behind you.
Dudes can ride, man.
They're amazing. Very good.
Okay.
Again, I think they're quite similar to the French.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. All right. I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions. I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to ask you a couple of quick ones. All right. National title or European championship?
European championships all day long. A final in European championships over a national title. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. World Cup win.
Yeah.
Or a European championship?
Ah, oh, so a gold medal over a World Cup win?
Yeah.
I'm going to go European championships because you get the jersey. Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, you get the jersey, you get the medal. It's just a whole, you know, you can forget about someone winning a World Cup. You could be like, oh, did they win that World Cup? Whereas like, if you've won a European championships, like, yeah.
Okay. Euro round win or World Cup win?
Yeah, World Cup win. For sure.
Not bad. Jump or manual?
Jump. Yeah, I've got short legs.
Not bad. That's pretty good. That's pretty
I'm
good.
I'm only 5'9", so I'm not built for manuals.
Not bad, not bad.
No, I've got to have that back end slammed right back.
That's pretty good. Okay. A national championship title or a Euro round win?
Euro round win.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Euros are pretty damn hard, I understand. So I can understand that
one. Yeah.
What would constitute a good season for Eddie Moore?
This year?
Yes, sir.
So obviously I'd like to win the national series again. I'd like to make the main in European championships again. That'd be good. British championships is obviously another race. I've not actually won that before. Mm-hmm. My best is second behind Kai a lot. So I'd like to win that for once. That'd be nice. And I'd like to do an indoor race at the end of the year, whether it's the Grands or something. I'd like to do that because that's something I think I'd be in good shape for.
Not bad. What kind of bike do you ride? Because I've seen you on a Yes, the Inspire, a Speedco, Haro. What kind of bike do you ride and what's been your favorite?
He's done his digging. That's good. I like that. So for me, the Speedco right now is, you know, when I got on it, it's super, super stiff, super smooth to ride. And the way I've got this one set up, it's great. It's a really good bike. But yeah, so it would be the Speedco, but I'd also like to mention the Inspire was an incredible bike. You know, I can't fault it. The only reason I moved away from it is because I wanted to try carbon, you know, because everyone's going that way. But in hindsight, you know, the Inspire was such a great bike. The geometry is amazing. Obviously, they work with the riders really hard to get the bike set up well. Yeah, and I can't fault Dorian and the guys at Inspire for that bike. It's incredible. So, but yeah, the Speedco for me is just, it's so stiff. And so smooth and direct. I think they're very similar bikes to ride now. I've got them both set up similar, but I think that Speedco is just, yeah. It's. I don't think I've ridden anything stiffer than that.
Not bad. Do you prefer carbon over aluminum?
Wouldn't say I've got too much preference over it.
Not bad.
I think if the time's faster, then that's what I'll ride.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. There's something that I want to ask you about too. Crucial BMX.
Yes.
How important, how did you get hooked up with them and what role has that bike shop played in your career?
Yeah, the guys at Crucial are amazing. So I linked up with Crucial just before lockdown. Because I didn't have a ride at the time. I was moving about. And they got me a Yes, which is the bike that I was riding at the time. And then lockdown happened and I missed a whole season. And that was the year I was, you know, starting to get better results. I was starting to find form. And they said Inspire wanted a, you know, a UK rider. So they hooked me up with Inspire. I managed to link up with Dorian. So they've literally been, you know, the voice for me with brands, you know, building the connection, which, yeah, is amazing. Because not only do they obviously sell pretty much every bike or brand, you know, they've got great relationships with these people. So, yeah, they hooked me up with Dorian and I've built a really good relationship with those guys. Which was amazing. I was so thankful because it felt like, you know, I was on, you know, with Dorian, with the Inspire guys, they, you know, did everything. But obviously It was all through Crucial. And then same again. Obviously, I reached out to Derek for Speako. And yeah, obviously, Crucial distribute Speako. So again, it was just us three managing to link up together. And yeah, if I am in need of something, then Crucial can reach out to Derek, and Derek's there to help. So that was really good.
Not bad.
So yeah, they play a massive part. Yeah.
They're based out of what, Bristol?
Yeah, Bristol in the UK.
Not bad. Where you're from, are you okay? So I'm curious, are you originally from Axminster?
Yeah.
And that's okay, so I know Devon and I know Axminster.
Yeah.
So talk to me about where you're from. What is it like there?
Fields and beaches. So I live on the southwest coast of England between Dorset and Devon, the border. And it's the Jurassic coast of the UK. So lots of beaches, cliffs, fields, farming, countryside. Yeah, I love it.
Not bad. Does it rain a lot there?
It's the UK. It rains quite often. But when you get a nice day, it's pretty good.
Not bad. That's kind of a dumb question. It does rain there. It's the UK. My last question to you is this. If there's anyone that Eddie Moore could thank in the sense of thank you, who would it be and why?
So obviously mainly my parents, because without them, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. So I've definitely got them to thank. Obviously Crucial BMX were huge part of this. And then my coach, Kyle Evans, he pushed for me to get on the squad as well.
That was dope.
So yeah, that was pretty awesome. And he, you know, supported me even when I wasn't on the program. You know, he was there dipping in the races and giving me advice that I needed to hear. So yeah, parents, my family, they support me loads. So yeah, for sure. And you know, yeah, Crucial. I'm just trying to think who I'm missing. Because I know I'll miss someone. But yeah, mainly Jim. Yeah. Yeah, the parents for sure.
Not bad. Right. Not bad. Kyle, I want to say a special thanks to Kyle because he's helping me with something to do an interview with someone. And Kyle has just been a wonderful, wonderful person to me. So I always want to send love to him. Big ups to Quillen always. Quillen's always been good to me. So, man, you're around some good people, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a real good thing we got going here. And yeah, can't thank Kyle enough for everything he's done for me so far. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
Not bad. Well, Eddie Moore, I want to say thank you for coming on the Lane 8 BMX podcast. And it was truly a treat to get to know who you are, man. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, mate. I've enjoyed talking to you.